A Humble Heart is the title of this, and it's a following just right in line with where we're at in Romans chapter 2, having a humble heart. The idea here that we want to walk away with is the idea that the heart is at the root of everything. The Bible says, for out of it flows the springs of life, the issues of life. Everything comes from the heart. So incredibly important that we get to the heart of the matter. We use that expression to understand that we are getting down to the core and central thoughts here, okay? The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to humbly submit to the Word of God and His way of salvation and make sure that our heart and our motivations, our thoughts, are all correct. Let's go ahead and stand, and if I will, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 2. We're going to just stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll pray, be seated, and look at the text a little bit deeper. Romans chapter 2. We've been working through this, learning the message of salvation as we go along. We're going to continue in verse 17 and go to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. And here comes such a serious statement that we're going to consider this morning. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision, it becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision, but break the law. And here is some truth. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. This morning we're going to talk about having a humble heart. Let's pray. Dear God, we beg you to open our eyes, open our hearts. As I said earlier, this is a message that is so easily able to say, well, it's that person or this person, that man, that woman. But God, for us to do that, we're proving ourselves that we are the ones in need of this message. Because for us to point the finger at others, we have arrogantly not considered our own sin. God, I pray that you open our eyes, show us your truth, how we can apply this personally so we can change, so that we may have a humble heart ready to serve you, ready to obey you, your full word, not making excuses, but complete obedience out of love, out of obedience, and in full humility. God, we need you this morning to work. I need you this morning to work in my heart. God, I pray for your blessing. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Two points this morning. The first one is God's name is profaned because of our hypocrisy. God's name is profaned because of our hypocrisy. If we look back to verse 17, it sets up kind of a series of things. Okay, but if you are call yourself a Jew, and you rely on the law, you boast in God, you know His will, you approve what is excellent, you're instructed from the law, you yourself are sure that you're a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. All of these good things, great things, awesome things. Okay, you have all of these things at your disposal. Might I just clarify it and say, we have the Word of God. Amen. We have the Word of God. But the application comes immediately after all of these great things. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. It says here, for as it is written, okay? Goes back, there's a few passages where this was said of the Jews, okay, the house of Israel, and it said that my holy name has been profaned because of your actions, because of your disobedience, because of your wickedness. There's several, one in Isaiah, and we're going to look one a little bit more carefully in a few moments, and you see it in your text under point two. Ezekiel chapter 36 was a passage of scripture where this group of individuals profaned God's holy name because they had to be cast out of His land, because of their wickedness, because of their idolatry, because of the areas where they had knowledge, they had the Word of God, and they rejected it. They refused to obey it. And consequences come when we refuse to obey God's word. And God's name is profaned. It's blasphemed because of our hypocrisy. Now it sets this up as someone who is teaching, as someone who is guiding. And it's easy and it's an applicable, absolutely correct application for it to be the person who is right here. And if I myself and anybody else who gets behind this pulpit does not consider the extreme responsibility it is to preach the Word of God to a public audience, I have to consider my own life. I have to. I can't allow myself to do this. And the reality is, I do it. I am hypocritical. But let's branch outside of the pulpit for a moment and consider the proclamation of truth. Whether you're behind this pulpit, whether you were teaching a Sunday school lesson, or whether you were a parent at home, you could fill in whatever blank that you want to be. If you are proclaiming God's truth in any fashion, in any form, at any time, these things apply to you. It is so important for us to understand that it is not good in us for us to just speak God's word. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We can't just proclaim it. We have to live it. Because if we don't live it, are we even, what exactly are we proclaiming if we don't live it? What we're proclaiming is that it's a good thing to say. It's a good religious activity to participate in. It's a cultural engagement, but it's not real. It's not true to my life. It's not important enough for me to change my life. That's what we're saying. And so, do people reject what we're saying? Yes. What is one of the biggest reasons, and this is a bad reason, okay? Give it that, it's a bad reason. But what's one of the biggest reasons? It's stereotypical, really, of people who don't want to come to church. They're full of hypocrites. Hypocrites. People who say, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to live your life this way. But they themselves don't live their lives that way. It's a heavy thing to be a teacher and preacher of God's word, but please consider the idea that every believer ought to be a teacher and preacher of God's word. Even if it's not in the public proclamation of truth like this is at this moment, We are all called to preach God's word, okay? And we have to make sure that we are doing this. And some of these things, some of the examples given of this hypocrisy is pretty strong. And we may say, well, that's not me. I'm not that big of a hypocrite. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't robbed a temple. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Jesus spoke on that too, didn't he? Okay. If we lust after someone in our heart, what does it say? We've already committed adultery with that person in our heart. So again, we go back to the idea where I want us to strip the idea of externalism from our minds, okay? Let's not focus on the outward. Let's focus on our hearts, because the Bible says, for out of it will spring the issues of life, okay? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's take care of the heart, and the outside will come naturally. Okay, let's take care of the heart, because we can plaster a nice smile on our face. We can look like a mighty fine Christian, but we can be still, like the Pharisees, full of dead men's bones. Okay, we can be spiritually dead on the inside and be playing the game of a Christian life. And we ought to be careful of these things. We ought to be careful that we are not engaging in this kind of hypocrisy. And to make sure that we're not engaging in this kind of hypocrisy, it requires continual evaluation of our own life. Daily evaluation of our own life. One of the probably the prime disciplines of a spiritual life that I haven't taken and grabbed onto and accomplished in my life, but I see the value in it, is journaling. Any of you say that you journal? My hat's off to you, because I think that's an awesome, awesome thing. Because what are we doing when we are journaling? It's a heart reflection time, right? This happened and I'm thinking about this. I'm reading this passage and this is moving me in this way. This is convicting me in this way. I'm considering how I responded to this individual. Was that loving? Was that kind? Was that necessary? I'm considering my words. I'm considering my actions. But most importantly, I'm considering my heart, my motivations. Why am I doing what I am doing? It's not good enough just to be a Pharisee and to look good and put this emblem, this idea of spirituality in other people's minds. We have to be willing to live the life that we proclaim. And if we don't understand, we are bringing God's name and shoving it in the dirt, okay? If my people that are called by my name, right? There's a lot of passages that talks about the people of God being called by his name. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We are the ecclesia, right? The church, the called out assembly, the called out ones. We've been chosen. Peter speaks of us as being a chosen generation, okay? A holy priesthood. Understand that if we do not embrace this idea of having a humble heart, and instead we are allowing ourselves to be okay with our hypocrisy, we are bringing whom we bear his name along with us, okay? We are bringing God along with us. People are calling us hypocrites. They are profaning the name of God. That is such a serious charge to be laid on our account. Such a serious charge. God's name is profaned because of our hypocrisy. It set this up as saying, all of these good things, you have the embodiment of the law, yet you still disobey. So the next 3 points here starts off with the phrase, we have the word of God, but deny its what? Let's turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Those with us in Sunday school say, hey, we looked at that. Isn't it awesome? Matthew 23. Let's start in verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. They have this position of authority, this religious authority. So do and observe whatever they tell you. Okay, they're teaching God's word. It's truth. Obey it. It's great. But not the works they do. not the works they do? For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, lay them on people's shoulder, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Guys, we have the word of God, but we find ourselves denying its practice. Denying its practice. It says here, for they preach, but do not practice. That is the essence, the definition of hypocrisy. And Jesus told the crowds, do what they say, not as they do. God forbid we be that person that Jesus has to address. God forbid we be that Sunday school teacher that the parent has to go home and say, hey, listen to that Sunday school teacher, but don't follow in her example. Hey, they're saying good things, but they're not living it up to it in their life. In fact, if it gets to that point, how much you want to bet that parent's going to pull their child out of that Sunday school program? Why? Because if it's not good enough, if the teacher truly doesn't believe it enough to live it, how good is she actually even teaching it? And do I want my child to follow that kind of example? There's some strong language here. For they preach but do not practice. And so here we go. We have to evaluate our life. We have to do a little bit of mental journaling even this morning as we evaluate this truth and ask ourselves, what areas in my life do I have the word of God, but I'm not practicing? Earlier in the chapter of Romans chapter 2, we looked at the accountability that comes with the word of God. And we looked, I believe it was in James, of the even being a teacher of God's word, having even more accountability, because the more we know a material, the more we're going to be accountable for it. The more of God's word that we know, the more of God's word we will be held accountable to. We have the word of God. We are some blessed people, aren't we? We have the opportunity to come in a free nation, to come and gather together as a church. Every one of you has the opportunity to have your Bible. You may not have one with you this morning, but you have the opportunity. No one's stopping you. No one's going to check you on the way out. Some of you have instant access wherever you go, because you have a smartphone and you can open up the Word of God. One of our students just downloaded a great free app on his computer, and he's been using it to study. It's a free version of Logos, and Logos is just a tool that one can use to study the Bible. Definitions, parallelism, okay, concordance, commentaries. What's my point? My point is, for free, we have so much knowledge, so much truth right available at our fingertips. We are certainly blessed. We have the Word of God, but we deny its practice. Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. If you have a piece of paper, you can even just kind of stuff it in here, because we're going to break this chapter in half. We're going to look half now, half later. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into the households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Verse 5 is the verse I really want us to hone in on, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's powerful. It's alive. And its purpose is to convict us of our sin, to show us a holy God, to show us a loving God, to show us the plan of salvation, to show us the way we ought to live our lives, so that we may grow into the image of Christ, who is our head, the head of the church. We're going to look at its power in just a few moments while we look at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're familiar with it. We see the famous verse, all scriptures breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There's power. But so often when we reject its power, we're going to see our lives start to crumble. Because we can look good on the outside, but if we are like a Pharisee, full of dead man's bones on the inside, we have no life. It didn't end well for the Pharisees, and it's not going to end well for us. We have the word of God, but we deny its power. We have the appearance of godliness, but we deny its power. Number 3, turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Now, this is a hard chapter to swallow here. Unfortunately, God is not speaking directly to those who are in sin. He's speaking to Jeremiah and saying, Jeremiah, I want you to go and I want you to tell this people about their sin. And he says, don't pray for them. Don't pray for them. They need to know of what they've done, and they need to know what I'm going to do about it. See, they've been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to hear the word of God and to accept its teaching, accept its power in your life, and they rejected it. Jeremiah chapter 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Catch on to verse 4. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice with one another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. And when I called you, you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out your kinsmen, all of the offspring of Ephraim. As for you, speaking to Jeremiah, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them. Do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle fire. The women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Is it I whom they provoke, declares the Lord? Is it not themselves to their own shame? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, upon man, upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and of the fruit of the ground it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, catch this, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifice, but this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in the ways that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them, day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. What's the next phrase? They did worse than their fathers. So you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. And you will say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God and did not accept discipline. Truth has perished. It is cut off from their lips. Letter C, we have the word of God, but we deny its presence. We have the word of God, but we deny its presence. We may not be doing this, but we find ourselves sitting in these seats, hearing the word of God, and we do this little number here. It says in verse 26, they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. This is an act of arrogance. They stiffen their neck. They refuse to listen. They did worse than their fathers, and there's a consequence for that. It's interesting here at the beginning of this passage where they were trusting in some deceptive words, right? This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. This outward religious manifestation of their belief. When we go to Romans chapter 2, if I were to just turn there and remind you, it starts off in a very similar way, right? But you yourself call yourself a Jew, rely on the law, boast in God, know his will, approve what is excellent, because you are instructed from the law. You yourself are a guide, a blind to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Skipping ahead, and we're going to steal a little bit of thunder here. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. So we're talking about, I am a Jew. I have the oracles of God. I'm a Jew. I have circumcision. This should count for something. But it doesn't. It says here that it is an inward thing and not just an outward thing. For a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not the letter. It says here in Jeremiah 7 that they were beholding in verse 8, they were trusting in these deceptive words to no avail. And then it gives a similar idea. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery? Will you go live your life the way you want and still come back to the temple of the Lord and make a claim like we are delivered? Will you be this hypocritical person like the men spoken of in Jeremiah 7? Guys, we have the word of God, but we deny its presence. We deny its practice. Don't do what God tells us to do. We deny its power, the power that it has to change our lives, to cause us to be more and more like the Son of God. We deny its presence. We deny its presence. We don't even listen to it. We say, that's not for me. And we go on with our life. You see, there are two very strong applications that we can make here. For the unbeliever, for the person who has not placed their trust in Jesus Christ, and the person who calls himself a disciple, a follower of Christ, one, how does something even come out of a man? It starts in the heart. It starts within us. The Bible says that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we've become a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are given a new heart. We're given a new nature. We are given the Spirit of God. And there's many things that the Spirit of God will do in our lives. And one of those is to convict us, to challenge us, to show us His Word, to enlighten us, to bring all these things back to our memory, to comfort us. He is our great friend. He is our great comforter. We have the Word of God, but we deny its presence. If we trust in something other than the blood of Christ, we have denied the Word of God. And for those of us that we've put our faith in Jesus Christ, I think the application is very clear. As we've been talking about, it's not good enough to just live like a Christian. If we're playing this game, and I said live like a Christian, for clarity, I meant going to church and engaging in this external, but inside, we really don't even believe what we mean. We're hypocrites, okay? Those are things that we need to watch out for, to be careful to have this humble heart and humbly submit to the Word of God. Point number two, we see at the end of Romans chapter 2, it says that God praises the man who obeys from his heart. Verse 25 on says, "For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code in circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. God praises the man who obeys from his heart." God's given us two things to help us obey. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. As a way of review, I mentioned earlier that God's name is profaned because of our hypocrisy. And it says there in the text of Romans chapter 2, it said, "as it is written." And there are a couple of times it said this, one in Isaiah, there's a few others, but the one that I want to focus on is Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. For sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire account, but understand that because of the way the Israelites disobeyed, and the wickedness and the way that they lived, they were cast out of the promised land. And they went into other places. They were scattered, okay? And they continued to live wickedly. But even the act of God having to kick his people out of his land was a shame to God. It profaned his name. It gave an argument for that of others to look at God and say, what great God he is. Can't even keep his own people in his own land. Or what great God this is. The people won't even obey him. It was an idea that his name was profaned among the nations to which they came. And that was at the end of verse 21. In fact, let me read that verse. Verse 21, Ezekiel chapter 36. This is the word of the Lord. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God. And through you, I will vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from your idols, I will cleanse you. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. There's a lot of New Testament parallelism to the church here. This was promises made to the nation of Israel. We want to be very careful not to apply promises made to Israel to the church when it wasn't specifically made to the church. However, that sounds an awful lot familiar about the salvation process as defined and described in the New Testament, doesn't it? The fact that all things are passed away. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God has given us a new heart. He's given us a new nature, because the old man is the man that is controlled by the human spirit, right? The old man is the one who acts according to the flesh. We have two things outlined in the New Testament. We have the works of the spirit and the works of the flesh. Gives the idea that there's this dichotomy in the man, okay? That there's this flesh, okay? And this flesh has the sin nature and wants to sin. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God is not in him. But once we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says that he has given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. We talked about him in just a little while ago. We talked about the fact that he brings all things back to our remembrance. He convicts us of our sin. He is our comforter. This is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and praise God for that. But understand, it's again not because of us, right? It's because of God's grace. It's because of God's power, because he has given us his Spirit. And through his Spirit, he will cause us to live the way he has asked us to live. Guys, we can't live this Christian life in our own power. We may leave here and say, man, I want to humbly submit to God's word. Yes, I want to no longer be this hypocrite that I know that I've been. But if we leave this room and we try to do it on our own power, we will fall, because we do not have the power to do this. It is not within us. It is through his Spirit that he works mightily through us. Understand, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. And letter A, we can obey because he has given us his Spirit. Letter B, we can obey because he's given us his Scriptures. And what is the purpose of his Scriptures? I told you to hold your thumb there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just want to read verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There's a lot of power in the Word of God. And we can obey because he's given us his scriptures. He has showed us how we are to live. This word is breathed out by God. This word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Gives you the idea that without the word of God, we're not complete. We need God's word in our life, and we can live the way he's asked us to live because he's given us his spirit to cause us to walk in this way. He's given us his scriptures to show us which way we ought to go. The Bible says that his word is what? It's like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illumines our way. It shows us how we are to live life. So we have two examples of men before us this morning. We have men that profane God's name because of their hypocrisy. And we have men who are praised by God because they obey from their heart. We have women as well. Okay, men and women, these groups of individuals. Now, it can be in the area of salvation. Are we trusting in something other than what God has given to be the way of salvation? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. What about the person who has placed his faith in Christ? Is our hypocrisy profaning the name of the Lord? Here's a hard question for us to ask this morning. Let's think about it corporately. Is the name of the Lord Jesus profaned in Pembine because of the hypocrisy of Faith Baptist Church? Because of the hypocrisy of Ben Barrick, Carol Waitrovich, Eric? This is when we get out those journals and we start to evaluate our life and ask ourselves these hard questions. For if we hear these things and we walk away and not do them, we are hearers of the word. But we have to do them. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. But it requires a humble heart to do these things. For it is the arrogant person who denies the practice of the word of God, denies the power of the word of God, the presence of the word of God. And it is the humble man who utilizes the power of his spirit and goes in the way dictated by God's scriptures. I'll end with this verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. A key component of that is humility.